السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدنا علما. اللهم فقهنا في الدين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. رمضان مبارك to all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to make the best use of this Ramadan to please Him. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, we're going to do Ayat 53 to 54 of Surah Al-Ma'idah today. We'll start off with the word meanings, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. Wa and yaqulu, say, alladhina, those who amanu, they believed, aha ula'i, in the beginning is used to ask a question, and it means are ha ula'i, these, alladhina, those who aqsamu, they swore, billahi, be by Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jahda, firm or strong, aymanihim, ayman means oaths, him, theirs, inna, indeed, hum, they, la ma'akum, la, surely, ma'a, with, kum, all of you. Habitat, went to waste. A'maluhum, a'mal is plural for the word amal, which means a good deed. So a'mal, good deeds, hum, theirs. Fa, so, asbahu, they became khasirin, ones who are losers. Khasara is the root word here, and that means an ultimate loss. Ina ending makes this word plural. So khasirin are ones who are losers. Ya ayyuha, oh, alladhina, those who, amanu, they believed, man, whoever, yartadda, turns back, minkum, min, from, kum, all of you, an, from, deenihi, deen means religion, and our religion is our whole way of life, so deen actually means way of life, or religion, he, his, fa, then, sofa, soon, will, yati, excuse me, yati, he comes, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be with. And whenever we see the word yati followed by be, it means, instead of saying to come with, it makes more sense in English to say he brings. So yati lahu bi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings qawmin, a people or nation. Yuhibbuhum, yuhibbu, he loves. Hubban is the root word, and that means love. Yuhibbu means he loves. Hum, them. Wa, and yuhibbuna. The una ending makes this word plural, and the ya in the beginning tells us this is in the third person. So wa yuhibbuna, and they love who? Him. Adillatan, humble. Ala, upon, al-mu'mineen, the believers, a'izzatan, ones strict, or stern, ala, upon, al-kafirin, those who disbelieve, yujahiduna. And this word comes from jahad, jim, ha, dal, and that means to strive, utmost struggle. Okay, and ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yujahiduna, they strive, or they do utmost struggle, fi, in, sabil, way or path, Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa, and la, na, yakhafuna. Khof is the root word here, and that means fear. And yakhafu, yeah, in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and the word khof becomes a verb in this form. And una ending makes this word plural. So yakhafuna, they fear, laumata, blame, laim. Laimin means somebody who blames. So laumata, blame, laim, of one who blames. Thalika, that, fadlu, is bounty or grace, Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yu'tihi, ata means to give. And you in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So yu'ti, he gives, he, it, meaning bounty, man, whom, yasha'u, he wills. Wa, and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wasi'un, is infinitely vast, all embracing, all encompassing. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. And the next one, alimun, is also an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this comes from the word ilm, which means knowledge. So alimun means one always all-knowing. Alhamdulillah, these are the word meanings for the week. Now we're going to start off with the tafsir of these ayat. Starting with ayah number 53, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa yaqulu alladhina amanu. And the believers will say, aha ula'i alladhina aqsamu billahi jahda aymanihim. Are these the same people who solemnly swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what had those people sworn? Innahum la ma'akum. Indeed, they would stand beside you. Now, this ayah can mean two things, this part of the ayah. The first way this ayah can be interpreted is that the believers will look at the hypocrites and they'll say, are these the same people who go to the Jews, the Christians, and the disbelievers, and they tell them that they're with them? And this talks about people like Abdullah bin Ubay, who used to send messages to the enemy, the Banu Qaynuqa and the Banu Nadir, to tell them not to give up, to continue to fight against the Muslims, that he's with them. So the hypocrites used to tell the enemy not to worry, that if Muslims attacked, they would fight on the side of the disbelievers. They told them to stay strong. They were two-faced. Even though they lived among the Muslims and pretended to be from them, they were not sincere. So the Muslims were surprised to see them, because they used to go to the enemy to tell them that they were on their side. So that's one meaning of this ayah. Now the second thing this ayah means is that Muslims will be surprised that those people are hypocrites when they're actually exposed, because they had been swearing telling the believers that they would be on their side if any fighting ever happened. When the believers find out that the hypocrites had been secretly sending messages to the enemy, they would be shocked because they actually believed them. So that's the second meaning of this part. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. All their deeds will be wasted. And that's as a result of their hypocrisy. All the good deeds that the hypocrites did, all the prayers they prayed in congregation, and the little bit of charity they gave, would all go to waste. Why did that happen? Why did their deeds go to waste? Because of their hypocrisy, and because they were insincere in their intentions. They didn't do those things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't really think of them as good deeds. They did them just to be seen by people. Whenever people do anything to show off or to be seen by others, this is what happens. All their efforts go to waste because they don't do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval. People who do things to be seen by others can trick people into thinking that they're really pious or that they're really good, but they can't trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts deeds that are done with sincerity, that are done exclusively for His approval. He doesn't care how great the work is or how beautifully it's done. If it's not done for His approval, it doesn't matter. For example, it's really good to feed people, but for people who do it just to show off, they will not be rewarded for doing that good deed. And it wasn't easy for the hypocrites to go to the masjid to pray in congregation, but they did it because they wanted everyone around them to think that they were true Muslims. So they stood by their side. They even set out for jihad when the Muslims went at times, just so they would be considered believers. But their actions all went to waste as a result of their wrong intentions. Only when something is done with sincerity can our good deeds be accepted. Otherwise, all our efforts will go to waste. So we must be very careful and purify our intentions. And all our actions, all the things we do, should be done exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we beautify them, they should be beautified just because our Allah is going to see those actions, because He's going to look at our good deeds. Okay? They shouldn't be beautified so people can acknowledge them. It's no use if we do things to be acknowledged by others. They will not help us in any way. فَأَصْبَحُوا خَاسِرِينَ. And they will become losers. All their prayers, the prayers the hypocrites did, their fasts, their sadaqah, everything went to waste. None of it remains in their record. They tried to do good things all throughout their lives, but they lost in the end anyway, due to their intentions not being pure. So a believer and a hypocrite may both be doing the same thing, but their end result will be very different. The believer will be rewarded for his efforts, but the hypocrite will not be rewarded. All his actions, all the good deeds will go to waste, since he did it for the wrong reasons. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O believers. Now, there's something very important coming up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforts Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by sending this ayah. And there's encouragement for the true believers in this ayah as well. And he also tells people who turn away from his deen what it actually means when they do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells all the believers, whether they're hypocrites or people with a low level of iman or high level of iman, whoever, all the believers, he tells all of them, may yartadda minkum an deenihi, whoever among you renounces Islam, let him do so. It doesn't make a difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Then soon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace them with others whom He will love and they will love Him. So nobody should think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs them in any way, na'udhu billah, when they're told to pray and do certain things and stay away from other things that are sinful. He doesn't need us, neither does his deen. Even if you all turn away from Islam, he will bring others to replace us. His deen does not need us. We need his deen. We need Islam. If we have been granted the tawfiq to learn the Quran today, or the chance to do any work for him at any scale, whether it's a little bit or a lot, we should never complain about it. Never. We shouldn't ever say that it's too much work or that we're just stuck doing this while others are relaxing. We should never complain about it because it's a great honor that he has chosen us out of all the people out there, subhanAllah. Instead of complaining about the work, we should be so grateful to him that he blessed us. He says, وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and to him belong all the forces in the skies and the earth. We are just one creation, humans. There are so many of his forces in the skies and the earth that we don't even know about. He created so many forces that can easily do his work. But he made us capable of doing something beneficial. And if he has made us capable of doing it, if he has allowed us to do it, we should be really thankful to him. Alhamdulillah, that he chose us to put in a little bit of our share in deen. So those who turn away from Islam, thinking that they're the ones holding up the religion, they should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring others in place of them. And the people he brings to replace them will not be like them, where they would leave deen and turn away from it. They will not be unfaithful to Islam like hypocrites who fear going through trouble because of Islam. That's why hypocrites like to stick to both sides, the Muslims and the other side, so they can turn towards whatever side benefits them at different times. Whichever side is gaining worldly benefits, they just turn towards them. There are two ways that people turn away from deen. Okay, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about people who turn away from deen in this ayah, right? So there are two ways that people do that. One is when someone leaves Islam completely to accept Christianity or some other religion. Astaghfirullah. And then there's another way that people turn away from Islam too. And that's when they don't actually say that they have left Islam, but they have really left it. They don't practice Islam at all. They can't tolerate deen. Nothing about them depicts that they're Muslim, besides the fact that they have a Muslim name, and that's it. In fact, they would even change their names if they could, to hide that they had been Muslim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well by telling him not to worry if anyone turns away from Islam, not to worry, because he would replace those hypocrites with others who will be much better people. He also encourages Muslims to develop the characteristics that are listed ahead now, because he says that if anyone turns away from deen, he will bring others who will have the qualities that are coming up. And they'll be faithful to him. And that's what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the noble Sahaba in place of the munafiqeen and those who turned away from deen. So the whole group of Sahaba, the beloved companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were the best example of people who had all the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes here next. They were the first of the people to have these character traits. And anyone who has these traits from those who come later will also be the beloved people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he doesn't just say this about one person. He tells us that all the people with these qualities are his beloved people. And through the part about turning away from deen, he has given Muslims a warning, a heads up, that there will be a time when people will actually turn away from Islam. And that time started when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very ill before he passed away. Some people, or some entire tribes of people, not just individuals, entire tribes turned away from Islam. Others refused to pay the zakat, saying that they would do everything else, but they wouldn't pay zakat. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu fought a war against them. There were some people who started to follow others who falsely claimed prophethood, like Musaylama Kadhab, astaghfirullah. And some others who claimed to be prophets came, astaghfirullah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned Muslims that there will be a time when people would turn away from deen. But he says that they shouldn't worry about it, because he will bring others in their place who would have different character traits. Beautiful character traits. It's very important that we understand the characteristics coming up so we can try to adopt these qualities as well. Because these people are the group of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're described after those who turned away from Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the people he will bring in place of the murtadeen, meaning those who turned away from deen. He tells us how they're going to be. The people he brings in place of those who leave the deen. The first quality he describes is yuhibbuhum. Subhanallah. He loves them. He will bring people whom he will love, he says. This is the first thing he mentions here, that he would love them. He would create such an honorable group of people to replace the unfaithful ones who turned away from Islam, that he loves them. They will not turn away from deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. We understand. We all understand how we naturally love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he created us. He is our Lord and granted us so many blessings. He bestowed so many favors upon us. So it only makes sense for us to love him. It's natural for us to love him, right? He is worthy of being loved by us. But imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, loves a tiny speck, a human being. That's amazing. Because mankind is just a tiny speck. He's very insignificant compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people start being arrogant or thinking that they're so great, they should know that they're nothing. We are extremely weak and small compared to this huge universe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to some humans among mankind that he loves them. That is really amazing, subhanAllah. He created and controls the whole universe. He sustains it. He is ever living. And he will always continue to exist. He is the honorable, the great, the noble. He is free of all weaknesses. And he has all the best attributes. Imagine that he tells a tiny speck that he loves it. SubhanAllah. So, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love people? According to his majesty, when he loves someone, he keeps that person busy in his obedience. So that person spends their time obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he protects that person from sins. These are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for that person. After saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them, next he says, وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, and they will love him. That's how the group of people will be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces the hypocrites and the murtadeen with. And the noble sahaba proved that this was true. When he sent the sahaba to replace those who turned away from deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved them and they loved him intensely. They sacrificed everything in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were willing to give up their lives for the sake of Allah. And nothing else had any value in comparison. It's very easy to say that we would give up everything, even our lives, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when needed. We can claim things like that, but we are not able to do this in our practical lives. However, the Sahaba were true to their word. They didn't just claim these things. They actually gave up everything in the way of Islam. They had to leave their homes, their families, their work, their source of income, everything. They left their prosperous lives to move to Medina, where they were basically just refugees and immigrants. They went to seek refuge in Medina, when they had their own homeland. And why did they do that? Just for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They sacrificed everything in His way, practically. And even after they migrated to Medina, they didn't just start to relax. They continued to struggle. They worked so hard. They constantly struggled. They proved that they really loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how people who truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are. People like us claim to love Him so much. We say it, but we aren't willing to sacrifice anything in His way. The way we live our lives is not according to these words, that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much and would give up everything for Him. That's not what our lives say. If anyone looks at us, that's not what they sense. Even if we think about it honestly to ourselves, our hearts would bear witness that we are not true to our words in this matter. We're all talk. We don't like to do the work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't live their lives the way we do. And there are so many books that can be found about the beautiful way people who really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala live their lives. About how they are. One thing we learn about them is that they are pleased with Allah's decisions. No matter what happens to them. They don't complain about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for them. Think about Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was about to be thrown into the huge fire that was built. He could have thought, why me out of all the people, O Allah, when I'm the only one who believed out of all the people here? Or he could have complained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was allowing them to throw him into the fire. Or that Allah did not send any help, even though all the preparations had been made to throw him into it. Why hadn't help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come yet? He could have said that, he could have thought that, right? Or complained in that way. But he didn't, because he truly loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's people like us, who just pray a few times a day, and then we expect everything in life to go smoothly. If any problems arise, we start complaining right away, and we ask, why me? Why did this happen to me? And then we start thinking about all the things we do for Allah. The few things that we're able to do, we start remembering them. Okay? And when we do that, we are basically complaining about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rules, about His decree for us, that we're not pleased with His decision for us. When Muslims start to complain at times of difficulty, when they start remembering and counting all the things they do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they don't see other people around them doing, because they think they've done a little bit more, and they ask why they went through difficulties when they do so much, that means they actually thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have looked out for them even more, just because they were doing some work for Him, as if they were doing Him a favor. Na'udhu billah. They act like Allah should care for them so much and protect them from all trials just because they accepted Islam. They can't bear to go through anything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how people like us are. by Ibrahim alayhi salam, even when the angel descended to ask him if he needed help, he said he didn't need help from anyone. And he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with him being burned, then he was pleased with being burned. That's how people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are. He was ready because he loved Allah so much. People who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are at such high ranks. And there are signs of people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Inshallah, we'll learn about them sometime later on. Our dear Ustaza says that she will cover them with us later on, inshallah. She says the ranks or the degrees are like stairs that people climb as their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intensifies. There are many steps to get to the certain rank that she calls Maqami Raza, or the station of Rada. That's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets that person to the stage where that person is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, whether that person is happy or sad. They're content. They're pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations, through all difficulties, at all times. They're pleased. According to hadith, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, he tests that person. He puts that person in some sort of difficulty to test them. So trials do come to that person, but it's only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing him or her. Bilal radiallahu anhu was tortured so badly because of his belief, because of Islam. When others told him to just say the names of the idols that the polytheists wanted to hear, just so they would let him go, Bilal radiallahu anhu used to say, when you buy dishes made of clay, because they used to have dishes made of clay back then. So he said, when you buy dishes from the market, you knock on them to check and make sure that they don't easily break. So isn't my Lord going to check me to see if I am for real or not? He meant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was testing his iman to see if he was sincere or not. Subhanallah. When we are tested, we should remember to try to be pleased with whatever trials we are going through. It's not easy for normal people like us, but there are some people who are actually content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for them. To be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that someone is at a very high rank, very high station. Of course, it's not easy getting to ranks where people are able to think that way. But someone who does get to those special ranks, that they're always pleased with Allah, that person feels like they're in Jannah, even when they live among us in this dunya, because that person is satisfied in all conditions. That person is pleased with Allah at all times. And others around them are stressed, even after attaining so much, even after earning so much money, having successful careers, owning big homes, even when they have everything that brings happiness in this life, they're still depressed. But as for those who get to the special rank where they're pleased with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees for them, they're content in life. It's because of their true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and their friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they're like that. Even when He afflicts them with trials, they think that at least this is an excuse for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remember them. They think, at least my beloved Lord has thought of me. Even if it was to send a trial or test me, at least He remembers me. He has thought of me. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Then that person starts to find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him too. Then he feels so much love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he races towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do work for him, to do his dhikr, to do good deeds. And there are many other signs as well that people, signs that let people know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone. Okay, signs that people can use to figure out if Allah loves them. There are some signs that are mentioned in the Quran too, in some ayat. He tells us in the Quran that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who adopt taqwa, those who adopt God consciousness. He loves those who purify themselves. He loves those who turn to Him in repentance. He loves those who are patient, those who are fair, those who trust Him, and those who do utmost good. Subhanallah. There are so many qualities we learned about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. We should try to adopt these characteristics if we want Him to love us. And we should make dua that, oh Allah, we love You so much. We don't deserve Your love, but make us capable of being loved by You. We should make that dua, because we really don't have those traits that we just went over. We are not patient, nor do we have that kind of taqwa that's needed. We don't have the tawakkul that we place only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we should. And we don't do ihsan or treat people with utmost kindness, utmost good. Ihsan means to deal with people in a beautiful way. If someone does good to us, we should be even better to them. And if someone is bad to us, we should still be good to them. That is the level of ihsan. But we just treat people the way they treat us. That isn't ihsan. And ihsan also means to not take advantage of someone and to intercede for someone when we can help them, to help someone when they're going through problems, to be easy on someone who we have given a loan to prioritize what someone else needs over our own needs. These are ways to do ihsan. We don't really do these things. And even when we do tawbah, when we repent, we just sit there saying astaghfirullah, doing the tasbih of astaghfirullah, without really thinking about our sins and truly repenting, remembering our sins and feeling bad about what we did. So we shouldn't just claim that we're believers and we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. We should live our lives in such a way that we prove that we actually love Him. So when the angels come to take our soul at the time of death, they only see the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala written on our hearts. And then it's evident that this person is a true muhib. Muhib means the one who loves sincerely. So we have to prove that we are true muhib to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of just talking. Because there's no point of talking. Even the hypocrites talked a lot and they claimed so many things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even if people turn away from deen, He will bring others whom He loves. He mentions His love for them first as an honor to them. All the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Him, as well as all the people who believe. But it's an honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these people, that He says He loves them. Allahu Akbar. وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, and they will love Him. These are the kind of people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, they will be humble towards the believers. This is how they are. The people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. They are soft. They're gentle and easy when dealing with the believers. They're kind-hearted and they speak gently. They're friendly and caring towards the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has forbidden Jahannam for the person who is qareeb. And He has forbidden that person for Jahannam. Qareeb means that he or she is close to people. That he is humble, soft-hearted, easygoing. So the person with these characteristics is the one who is adillatin alal mu'mineen. Sadly, many Muslims these days are stern with the believers and they smile at the non-believers when they see them. They're very kind to them. They're friendlier with the disbelievers than the Muslims. They're not humble around other Muslims because they think they have to act all proud to seek respect. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people whom He loves and who love Him are gentle with the believers. Remember the story about Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was rushing to go somewhere in the scorching sun one afternoon when it was extremely hot. So someone asked him, where are you going, Amirul Mu'mineen? He answered, a camel from Baytul Mal has run off. I'm going to get it. So the man said, send a slave to do it. Umar radiallahu anhu replied, who would be more of a slave than Umar? That's how humble he was. Even though he was the Khalifa at that time, he was the leader of all the believers. And in order to be gentle and kind to the believers, a person has to be humble. Anyone who is arrogant cannot be gentle with others. When that person thinks that they're so great, they become really strict with others. Someone said something really beautiful, that people become stiff or hard when they're dead, and they're soft when they're alive. And it's the same thing with our hearts. People with hearts that are still alive are soft and gentle. Their hearts are alive with iman. And the people whose hearts are dead are cold-hearted. They are stern. They may get others to be afraid of them or force others to respect them to their face because they're so strict with them. But that's not how the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves are. They are gentle with the believers. So if we want Allah to love us, we should be kind and caring towards others, especially when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us a position of power, when we have control over anyone or any unit. We shouldn't become arrogant or be rude to others. Our language is supposed to be gentle. We're supposed to speak softly. That's why our tongue is so soft. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it soft so it can bend and move whichever way. If it was hard, it would not have worked as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it this way so we are able to speak softly with it. Anyone who has been blessed with the quality of being gentle has been granted a lot of khair from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lot of goodness. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that with gentleness, one can accomplish what cannot be done by being stern. We should be compassionate towards others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people whom He loves are kind, especially to the believers, because they are brothers in Islam. There's a hadith that says, people whose hearts are like birds will go to Jannah, meaning they'll be soft-hearted, like birds. This is how the Sahaba were. They were so gentle to others, so caring. And who were they strict with? عِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. They are mighty against the disbelievers. Now that doesn't mean that we should start arguing with or start being rude to non-Muslims. عِزَّةٍ means against the kafirin. عِزَّةٍ against kafirin means that they didn't compromise with them when it came to their beliefs. So the Muslims did what they had to do. They didn't compromise on their beliefs. So we should deal with disbelievers nicely and be caring towards them, but never give up any act of worship to please them. The Sahaba were not flexible in that way, nor did they stop practicing Islam just to please the disbelievers. This is what that means. They followed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders, even if the disbelievers didn't approve. We all know about the Sahabi, Mus'ab bin Umair, radiallahu anhu. He grew up living a life of luxury, and he was raised in a very loving, gentle manner. His mother was a really wealthy woman. Even at that time, the clothes he wore and the perfume that he used were imported. When he passed a street, people could tell long afterwards that he had passed because of the scent of his perfume. That's how he was before Islam. But when he accepted Islam, all the luxuries were taken away from him. At the Battle of Badr, when the prisoners were brought, his brother was brought too as a captive, and he was chained up by an Ansari. When he passed by and he saw his brother, he said to the Ansari, keep him carefully chained. His mother is really wealthy. She'll pay you a good ransom for him. So he wasn't sad to see his brother chained up, even though he probably saw him after a long time. And he didn't try to speak to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and try to free him, because his brother now was the Ansari, his Muslim brother. His real brother was a disbeliever. So the connection to his Muslim brother was a lot more important to him than his blood brother. That's how the true believers are. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu was one Sahabi who loved his mother dearly, and he was very obedient to her. When he accepted Islam, his mother said to him, what new religion have you adopted? If you don't give up this new religion, I'm going to starve to death. then people will humiliate you and say that you are your mom's killer. He said, don't do this. I won't leave my religion because of this. She didn't eat for a whole day and one night. And the next day she tried to convince him to leave Islam again. He said to her, when she did that, I clearly said to her, oh mother, listen, I swear by Allah, if you had 100 lives and lost each life one at a time in front of me, I would still not leave my deen. Now it's up to you whether you eat or not. When she heard that, she started eating. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's son accepted Islam later on. When he did, he told his father, so many times during the battle, I could have attacked you with my sword, but I let you go. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to him, son, if you were within my reach and I was able to attack you with my sword, I would not have spared your life. And that was because they loved people or had enmity for them based on Islam. Nothing else. It was nothing personal. They lived according to Islam and they only wanted to die for Islam. For them, Iman was the greatest thing. They didn't care what tribe someone belonged to, how they were related to them, or if they had been friends with them or not. They only loved or had enmity for people due to Iman, because of their faith. Al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdhu lillah. My love is in the way of Allah, and my enmity is for Allah. That's what they believed. So it's not like the Sahaba had become enemies of the polytheists due to their own personal reasons. They only had enmity for them due to them being the enemies of Islam. So why wouldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love them? They sacrificed so much for him. So people around us should know that we won't tolerate anything against deen. It should be clear to them that we won't compromise when it comes to Islam. We should think about what people think of when they're around us, or what they think of us. Do others think that we are kind and easygoing? Or are they afraid just to deal with us because we're so stern and they think they're just going to get in trouble? We should check to see if we're gentle with the believers and mighty against the disbelievers when they try to make us flexible with practicing Islam. We have to figure that out. For us, it should be enough to know that someone believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As soon as we find that out, we naturally accept that person as a brother or sister in Islam. We don't bother about what language they speak or where they're from, what skin color they are. None of that matters. After knowing that they're believers, we prefer them over all others. As soon as we learn that someone is Muslim, we should love them the most out of the 1,000 people that they may be standing among. Even if they do so many things wrong, they're still better because they're believers, because they read the Shahada, they read the Tasbihat of my Allah and our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So of course they're better. When a person loves another just for that reason, for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the shade of His arsh on the Day of Judgment. Now, something else about people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and they love Allah. Yujahiduna fi sabilillah. They strive in the way of Allah. The word jihad is the most misunderstood word. Even Muslims today don't know what it means. They think it only means to fight. Okay? But that's just one meaning of it. And that's only in times of war. Otherwise, jihad means utmost struggle in the way of Allah. Striving hard to do something, to really try to accomplish something, and fight off whatever gets in the way, using your mouth, your pen to write about it, or your sword, if at war, whatever way. But it means to strive to do something and not give up. It means to get rid of the obstacles that get in the way. Muslims nowadays strive hard for so many other things in life, but they don't strive for Islam. They're actually surprised to hear that we should be struggling, trying our best to learn about Islam and teach others and spread this beautiful message. They don't even know this is a task that we have to do, because not many people do this anymore. But people think this is so challenging for some reason, compared to all the worldly difficult things they may be doing, even when they're really busy. With their busy schedules, they think it's okay to do all the challenging worldly things that are extra, but they don't think it's necessary to do it in the way of Allah. The effort we make in the way of Allah, the things we do for Islam, the time we spend in His way, tiring ourselves out in the process, using the knowledge that we have in His way, that is jihad. And men and women both need to do this. We're not just talking about qital, which is fighting during wars, which is one branch of jihad. And it's not necessary at the time anyway to do qital. Only that is only meant for times of war. But for the other ways that we're supposed to struggle, women must do it as well as men. Okay? For qital, only men do it during times of war. But now, regular jihad, struggle in the way of Allah, we have to do as well as men. Use whatever skills you have, whatever knowledge you have, the money you have, any talent that you have in the way of Allah. And it has to be done as an utmost struggle, not just to do a little bit or to just get the work over with, just to get it done with. It should be done in the best way. When people love Allah and He loves them, they don't sit there looking at the time. Okay, they don't think that, oh, it's gonna take too much time. They don't find it difficult to spend time in His way, whether it's learning His word, teaching it, or whatever else they may be doing for Him. They don't get bored in the process either if they really love Him. And they don't need to be reminded or watched to make sure that they do it properly. Even if we were to spend our whole lives in His way, we would not be able to do justice or worship Allah as He deserves to be worshipped. Even when they use their eyes, their brain, and their potential in His way, they think that He is the one who gave them these blessings anyway. So they don't think much of it, subhanAllah, because they are the special people whom He loves and they love Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like them too. Ameen. وَلَا يُخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. And they will have no fear from any critic. They don't care about what others say when they try to dissuade them from practicing Islam. Even when others criticize them or blame them, they don't mind. They're willing to do whatever it takes to please their Lord. It's not easy to get to Jannah. As we learned already, the path to Jannah is full of problems and troubles. It's difficult, people will try to get in the way and they'll say things to stop us when we try to follow Allah's instructions. But people who are really sensitive can't follow this path because they worry so much about what others think or say. So we have to be tough if we want to follow the rules given to us by Allah. As long as we can please Him, there's no need to care about what anyone else thinks. Whether they accept us the way we are or not doesn't matter. We should think, if they don't accept the way I look or the things I do to obey Allah, I don't care what they say or think about me. Whether it's our friends or relatives that we're dealing with, it doesn't matter. That's what وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمْ means. They don't care about what others say, as long as they obey Allah. We should worry about obeying Him instead of trying to please others who go against His rules. So the character traits we just learned are of the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and they love Him. They're gentle on the believers and they're strict on disbelievers when they hinder them from deen. They talk to them nicely and deal with them well, but they know that they can't say anything about their deen or make them compromise on that. And the beloved people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who also love Him, strive hard in His way with everything they have. And they don't fear anyone who criticizes them. Abu Dharr Ghaffari radiallahu anhu said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told me to do 7 things. To love the needy and spend time with them. When it comes to this life, look at people who have less than you, not more. Do sila rahmi, meaning keep family ties, even if others don't. Don't ask others for anything. Speak the truth, even if nobody likes it. Don't fear anyone who criticizes you when practicing Islam. And read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, a lot. Because this kalima is from under the treasure of the arsh, subhanAllah. So these are the 7 things Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised Abu Dharr Ghaffari radiallahu anhu to do. And the 6th thing mentioned is, La yakhafuna lawmata la'im. Only if people do this can they follow deen. Otherwise, people get in the way. They won't let you take a single step if you care about what they say. They're not going to let you practice Islam. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهُ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which He bestows on whom He pleases. Even after the beloved people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do all the things we learned about in this ayah, they don't think so highly of themselves. They say that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who enables them to do those things. They're not proud because they know they could not have done it without His tawfiq. Wallahu wasi'un 'alim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely vast, always all-knowing. He knows whom to grant the fadl or bounty upon. And His treasures are so vast, they're so big, that they don't decrease at all when He grants people things from them. He is all-encompassing and He can give to everyone. It's not like He can only grant these blessings to a few people. He can grant everyone these blessings. He has boundless knowledge. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Jazakumullahu khairan kaseera. And again, Ramadan Mubarak to you and your families. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.